In the intervening period, and this is the really important thing, George, in the intervening period between 1969 and 2004, something has changed on Mars fundamentally, climatologically.
35 years.
35 years. There now is an extraordinary amount of water ice on the top of the CO2 and water vapor hovering over the South Pole when the ice begins to melt.
Is it terraforming itself?
My bet is that the solar system as a whole is going through some kind of extraordinary hyperdimensional spring, which is warming Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Earth, that the idea that global warming is confined only to this world is not true, and there is some huge physics behind a long-term cycle. And we write about this particularly at the end of the third part of the Martian methane paper, and that spring may be coming to Mars again, which would, I mean, what happens in spring on Earth? All kinds of little guys come alive again,
yes,
right?
Yes, they do. I think the sun is getting hotter.
The sun is changing its cycle, but this is a physics that doesn't seem to depend on solar energy. It seems to be inputting energy into various planets from some other place, and my bet is the hyperdimensional model is the explanation for the place. The energy is actually coming from another dimension. It's not coming through the sun. And that's another whole program and another whole paper that we're working on, which we will have, which we'll publish shortly. In fact, I'm working on it with David Wilcox, and I know that David and you have talked in the past.
Yes.
And I want to do a show with David because he is marshaling meticulously all of the evidence from all the science papers written over the last 5-10 years showing that this physics is changing all over the system. And when we get our act together, we want to come on and talk about that evidence because it's critical to what is going to happen here.
How would you handle this phone call? Sean O'Keefe calls you from NASA and says, Richard, we're going to make an announcement in a few days, and we want to fly you up here to Washington, and I want you standing by me. And we're going to make this announcement of life on Mars, and we've got some pictures we want to show you first. And we don't want to disclose them, but we want to show them to you. So Richard C. Hoagland gets on a plane, and he flies out there, and he meets these NASA executives and officials. They shut the door. And they bring out these incredible pictures of Cydonia, pictures that you can only imagine. Maybe doorways leading into where the face was, you know, structures and stuff. And they ask you, Richard, don't say anything, please, but we just want you to know. You've devoted almost your whole life to this. Would you tell us?
Boy, that's a toughie because it has to do with giving your word.
Yep.
If the only way I could get to see the data, and they'd have to tell me beforehand whether I could tell other people or not tell them.
Yeah, they'd even probably have you sign something.
Yeah. If I couldn't tell everybody out there tonight, and I hope, George, you know I absolutely mean this because this is where I have been for the last 20 years on this.
This may be the most perplexing question anybody's ever asked you.
It is. It is. And my immediate reaction is I wouldn't go. Because I'm not in this to find out myself. I am in this to allow everybody to find out because I unequivocally believe that this knowledge, this hidden information that's been suppressed and kept from us for so long is essential, is vital to the very survival of the human species. And me knowing about it makes not a tinker's dam. Everybody's got to know so we all can use it to get to where we have to go.
And
so although intellectually it would be extraordinary, it wouldn't be worth anything. Because if I can't tell everybody and lay out what it means and how we can use it to change our destiny, what's the point?